Well, it's good to be with you all again this Lord's Day. Always a pleasure to join you all for worship of our living and triune God. Our lesson from the New Testament this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Our Old Testament lesson and primary text for this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times." And at the 7th time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garments and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. A very simple question for you this morning. That question is this: do you pray? Do you pray? Several months ago, we were together and we looked at the passage before this passage. We saw the contest on Mount Carmel. We saw Baal's prophets pray. But as you may remember, Baal's prophets prayed and their god Baal was no god. He did not answer their prayers. But then when Elijah prayed to his God, the Lord, there was an answer. Elijah prayed that the true God, the Lord of Israel, would make himself known, that he would manifest himself to his people. And the Lord answered that prayer. And then Elijah prayed that the Lord would turn the hearts of his people back to himself, away from their idols. And the Lord did just that. The people proclaimed, you remember the great proclamation, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Not Baal, not Ashtaroth, not any of the other idols. The Lord, he is God. Now today I want to look at the next 6 verses of that passage together. This is a passage in which we see very clearly that the Lord does not answer every prayer immediately. Sometimes he makes you wait. Last time he answered Elijah's prayer immediately. This time he makes Elijah wait. And the question then to us is, what ought we to be doing when God makes us wait, when we are praying and praying and praying, and the Lord makes us wait for his answer? What should we be doing? our text today would teach us to remain fervent in prayer, to remain fervent in prayer. This is because we see here in our text today that Elijah was a man fervent in prayer. Elijah said to Ahab in the first verse of our text today, verse 41, "Go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of rushing of rain." For 3.5 years, the Lord had cursed the land with drought and with famine. He had kept back the rain because the people of God had not kept the covenant of the Lord. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain, there was drought. But the Lord had promised Elijah something. He says, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And so that's what Elijah has done. He has shown himself to Ahab. And we saw how that meeting went several months ago, if you remember. Ahab had to wake up early. He had to climb to the top of Mount Carmel. He had to wait from morning until midday for his Baal to answer the prayers of his prophets. But as I've said before, Baal never answered the prayers. He did not show himself from heaven because he was no God and is no God. On the evening, you may remember, the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. He sent fire from heaven, devouring the bull sacrifice offered by Elijah, and thereby proving to the people once and for all that he is the true God. And after all this, Ahab had to climb down the mountain. And he had to watch as Elijah slaughtered each and every one of the false prophets in the valley, in the brook of Kishon. Well, it's been a long day for Ahab and for Elijah. Perhaps from Ahab's perspective, it's been a very bad day. He's been humiliated. He's been defeated. But here's the good news. It's about to get a lot better for everyone. Elijah tells Ahab, "Go up. Go up from the slaughter at the brook of Kishon. Go up." For what purpose? He says to us, "Go up, eat and drink." In other words, Elijah's saying it's time for supper. And the king, he must not miss this meal. We've had many celebratory meals over the last several weeks. We've been feasting during these last couple weeks. This is a time for feasting, Elijah is saying to Ahab. Why? Because rain is coming. Eat and drink. Elijah says, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the rushing of rain." All the past years of famine are about to come to an end, and God is going to pour out his covenant blessings on the land once again. This is the sound of good news. And so Elijah commands the king to eat and drink, and this is a summons by Elijah to celebrate the good news of God's promise fulfilled. This sound of rain is a rich and an abundant rain. It's going to refresh a dry and weary land. It's going to satisfy the people who have a quenched thirst. Soon heaven itself will split open, and soon the Lord will pour out all his covenant blessings on his covenant people, just as he has promised to do. Well, King Ahab accepts Elijah's invitation. He has a supper. If you look at verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But notice this. Elijah does not join him. Instead, we read that Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and there he bowed himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees. What is Elijah doing? What is Elijah doing? He is being fervent in prayer. Elijah has not gone up to the top of Mount Carmel to enjoy a nature scenery. He's not gone up there to take a fresh breath of the nature air. He isn't up there for self-care or mental health. He is up there to pray. He is up there to pray. And prayer is but a praising of our God. It's a giving thanks to our God. And especially in our text this day, prayer is asking God for the things which he has promised. Now, if you're reading the text, you'll probably notice that nowhere in this text does it say the words, "Elijah prayed." And in fact, the words of his prayer are not recorded for us. And yet we know that Elijah here is praying. We immediately recognize his posture as a posture of prayer. And if you still doubt, as we read earlier, James tells us explicitly, Elijah prayed fervently and it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and heaven gave rain. This is fervent prayer. Now, as I've said, Elijah has borne the burden of the day. He's had to rebuild the altar. He's had to butcher the bull sacrifice. He's gone down to the valley of Kishon and he's slaughtered hundreds of prophets, false prophets of Baal. That's hard work. If you've ever butchered an animal, you can imagine how difficult that would be. If you've ever had to build anything, stones. This is work, and not to mention all the climbing up and the climbing down and the climbing up again of Mount Carmel. It's late, he's almost certainly tired, and if you or I were Elijah, I think we would probably prefer, most of us, to be sitting down with Ahab, enjoying a nice meal and taking a rest. But Elijah, he neither eats nor sleeps. Elijah is eager to receive what God has promised to him, and that is why Elijah instead takes time to pray. I want us today to dwell for a while, for most of this sermon, on the description of Elijah's prayer. Even though his words themselves are not written for us, not recorded for us, there is still a great deal we can learn from Elijah's prayer, from the way his prayer is described. You know, many of you, if you're like me, if you're like most Christians, struggle to pray. Perhaps in the new year you've resolved to do a variety of things, to read your Bible more, perhaps to pray more. But most of us, if we're being honest, would say that our prayer lives are not what they ought to be, what we know they should be. And so Elijah's prayer, I think, is instructive to us. The first thing I want you to notice about Elijah's prayer is that it is private prayer. Elijah is alone. His servant is close at hand, but other than that, it's him and his God. Elijah departed from the people. He climbed up back the mountain, and there he's praying privately. He might have stayed with the people. He might have prayed grandly and publicly for the Lord to send rain, but instead, he travels to a private, a solitary place, and he spends time with his God. Abraham prayed in his garden, and David, he prayed in a cave. Elijah prays on this mountain, and the question for you today then is, where do you pray? Do you have a place where you can be alone with your God? Maybe it's your porch, maybe it's your office. Most of us, if we have neither of those, at least have a closet, maybe clean some of the junk out of it. Make a place where you can be alone with the Lord and to spend time in private prayer. Well, second, notice that this is humble prayer. Elijah bowed himself down on the earth, and it's from that low position then that he put his face between his knees. Elijah is either kneeling here or perhaps he is crouching. He has cast himself down to the ground. This is a posture of humble prayer. It is a posture. I was struck the first time I worshiped with y'all. It's been some time since I've prayed on my knees in the context of public worship. I like that. It is a posture of prayer that the Bible frequently portrays. People praying in many positions. Sometimes people are praying prostrate. Sometimes they are standing. Very rarely are they praying sitting, but there are some examples of that. But the body language, here's the point, the body language always communicates something about ourselves in prayer. Here Elijah's posture communicates to us and to his God that he is submitting himself in humility before the Lord, before a holy God. This is humble prayer. You know, I think about Elijah's prayer here. After what's just happened on Mount Carmel, he's called fire down from heaven. Elijah might have stood tall before all the people, publicly praying grandly, Lord, send rain. He had just done that for the fire, and he had experienced this great victory over his enemies. He prayed, and fire fell from heaven. He prayed, his enemies were defeated. But here Elijah retreats to a private place. He gets low on the ground. He goes to his God in humble prayer. Let me ask you this. Are you humble in prayer? I don't necessarily mean do you get on your knees or do you prostrate yourself in prayer? The position matters of the body, but more important is the posture of the heart. Are you going to your God begging for his mercy, pleading for his grace? Or are you like the Pharisees standing publicly in the city square, proud, presumptuous, praying that God would dispense blessings from heaven without ever seeking repentance and forgiveness of sins? Humble yourself in private prayer. Well, third, notice that this is watchful prayer. Elijah sent his servant saying, "Go up, look toward the sea." From a certain vantage point on Mount Carmel, you could see out through to the Sea of the Mediterranean. And if a storm cloud were to come, this would be the first place you would see it. It was likely to come from that direction. And so Elijah is praying, but he instructs his servant to watch while he prays. You see, Elijah, he knows the end of the drought is near. He knows the Lord will answer his prayer. And so he's watching for that answer. I think perhaps this is the part we most struggle with. If we have a prayer life, we know to pray privately. We know to pray humbly. But how often we forget to pray watchfully. Do you pray and watch? Are you keeping watch during prayer? What does that mean? Are you taking note of the ways in which the Lord has answered prayer? Let me encourage you to make a habit of keeping a record, a journal of what you have prayed for. And when God answers that prayer in part, or when he answers it in full, make a note of it. And so you're praying and you're praying and you're watching. And then when the Lord answers, you take a note and you give praise to God. It's amazing. If you do this for a year, how frequently you will see the Lord answer prayer. And you will know that the Lord your God is, in fact, a God who answers prayer because you've seen it, you've experienced it. You haven't just read about it in the Bible. Now, fourth, this is expectant prayer. Elijah expected an answer. His servant watched, and unfortunately for Elijah, he brings back bad news, discouraging news. There was nothing. There is no storm, there is no cloud, there certainly isn't any rain, there's not even any mist, there is nothing. And I think at this point we would be very discouraged. Why has the Lord, who so quickly sent fire from heaven, not answered this prayer for rain? And yet Elijah, he's not discouraged at all. He is expectantly waiting for the Lord to answer his prayer. Here's a question for you. Do you honestly believe that the Lord will answer your prayers? Or are you half-hearted? Are you double-minded, praying but not really believing that the Lord will answer your prayers? Perhaps he answers prayers generally, but he doesn't really answer my prayers. The Bible would exhort us, and this passage would teach us, that we must expect that the Lord will answer when we pray. That the Lord will answer when we pray. We expect the Lord to hear our prayers. We expect the Lord to answer our prayers. That is what it means to be praying with faith. We believe that he is and that he answers our prayers. Well, finally, this is persistent prayer. This is persistent prayer. His servant said, "There was nothing." And so Elijah doesn't say, "All right, let's go down the mountain. Let's go get some food. We prayed, we tried the prayer thing. It was the last thing we could do, and now, well, we just need to take it into our own hands." No. What does he say? "Go again." Go again. Not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times. Seven times he prayed and he kept on praying, and he did not give up praying. Elijah prayed privately, he prayed humbly, he prayed watchfully, he prayed expectantly, and he prayed persistently. And this is why James highlights Elijah to us as an example of one who is fervent in prayer. Elijah had previously prayed a short, simple prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer immediately. But the Lord this time makes Elijah wait. And yet in all of this, Elijah is not deterred. He did not doubt. He did not despair. He did not deny the power of God or the power of prayer. He knew his God, and he knew his God would answer him. And therefore, he was fervent in prayer. And so James would urge us, pray. That's at the end of the day, that is the application of this test. Pray. Pray like Elijah prayed. Pray privately. You need to flee from the distractions of the day. Put down the doom scrolling on Facebook. Put down the devices. Turn off the TV. Find a private place and spend time with the Lord in prayer. Pray humbly. Go bow down before the Lord your God. Confess your sins. Beg his mercy. Praise him for his marvelous grace. And know that the Lord, he delights in hearing the humble prayers of his people. He delights as a father delights to hear his son. Pray humbly. Pray watchfully. Pay attention and praise the Lord when he has answered prayer. Pray expectantly. Believe God will answer your prayer when he doesn't, even when he doesn't answer immediately. And then pray persistently. Pray seven times. Pray seven times, 70 times. Keep praying. And take the example of Jacob wrestling with the Lord God. Pray until you've received the blessing. Wrestle with the Lord in prayer. This is how Elijah prayed. And the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. Elijah, you see, here's the key. Elijah believed all along that the Lord would, in fact, answer his prayer. Elijah had confidence in prayer because, and this is the key, because he had the promise of God. Elijah had the promise of God. The Lord had promised Elijah, I will send rain upon the earth. And so Elijah, by faith, he believed that it was only a matter of time before the Lord fulfilled that promise. You know, if you've been a Christian for some time, you probably know this from experience. The Lord does not answer every prayer immediately. And we know from other places in Scripture, the Lord, in fact, does not always answer every prayer affirmatively. Sometimes he makes you wait. Sometimes his answer is no. Sometimes his answer is not yet. But the Lord always answers prayer. But if you want to pray fervently like Elijah prayed, if you want to pray confidently, then here's the key. The best thing you can do. Pray according to the promises of God. The scripture would tell us, this is the confidence that we have toward the Lord, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. You need to know your God. You need to pray according to his will. What has he revealed in Scripture that we ought to pray for? Pray for those things which he has promised. I want to give us some concrete method of doing this. How can we pray according to the promises? I want to give something concrete that you can do. Some of you don't pray at all. You know you should pray. You know you're supposed to pray, but you do not pray. Now, perhaps it's because you don't know how to begin. If you're like me, when I first became a Christian, I was not raised in the habit of praying. I did not know how to pray. I learned to pray by watching and listening to others pray privately in small group Bible studies in the context of the Lord's gathered worship. I learned how to pray. And this is what I learned. So we can pray according to the promises of God. Look to the Psalms as an example, an easy place to start there. Promises all across the Scripture, but the Psalms are a good place to start because they are designed as prayers, as songs of praise. They are very helpful in our prayer life. And look for everywhere in the Psalms where you read the words, "The Lord is." This is a good place to start praying the promises of God. The Lord is. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. A stronghold in times of trouble. Oh Lord, be my stronghold. Protect me and guard me. Let me take refuge in you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, do not let me to want. Provide for me all that I need. Take me through the valley of death. Lord, shepherd me. Bring me home. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Oh Lord, be my light. Help me to see where I ought to go. Keep me from stumbling in the dark. Keep me from fearing in this world. Behold, the Lord is the upholder of my life. Lord, uphold my life. Keep me from that which would try to destroy my life, of sin and the devil. Lord, protect me. Behold, the Lord is the upholder of my life. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Precious words for sinners like us, that the Lord is patient and abounding in steadfast love. Let us pray these things which the Lord has promised to us, his own character. If you want to learn more about praying the promises of God, there's a little book published by the Banner of Truth. I hope you all are familiar with the Banner of Truth. This book is published by them, and it's called Precious Promises. The author is Joseph Alleine, A-L-L-E-I-N-E. It's a classic piece of devotional literature. If you read that book, you will learn more and more how to pray the promises of God. Elijah had one such promise. The Lord had said, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And so Elijah obeyed. He showed himself to Ahab, and then he prayed. I'll note here, I don't want to spend too much time here, but Ahab had to obey the Lord. He had to show himself to Ahab in order for the Lord to fulfill his promise. There was a condition there that's often the case. Pay attention as you look to the promises of God for those conditional ifs. They're important. Elijah obeyed, and then he prayed, and he prayed. Seven times he prayed, and then the Lord answered his prayer. We see the Lord's answer in verses 44 through 46. "And at the seventh time he said, 'Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea.'" It took six times of Elijah praying and seeing nothing before Elijah's servant saw something. And that something was the answer of the Lord. You know, the Lord didn't answer Elijah's prayer the first time. And even on the seventh time, notice that he answered with something very, very, very small. The Lord sent not a great cloud, not a massive tempest, not a hurricane. What did he send? He sent a little cloud. From Elijah's servant's perspective, looking out to the Mediterranean, he could cover it with his fist. This is not a huge and great storm. It is a little cloud, no bigger than his hand from his perspective. But what we need to realize is that this little cloud is the Lord's answer to Elijah's prayer. It was not just some little cloud. It was, in fact, the Lord's little cloud. And how often is it the case that the Lord answers our prayers with little clouds like these? You pray for complete healing for a spouse or a loved one, and the Lord gives you gradual, slow, day-by-day recovery. You pray for holiness in your own life and for yourself, and the Lord, he gives you slow, incremental, lifelong progress. You pray for salvation for a friend or a coworker, a neighbor, or someone. And the Lord, he does not miraculously, suddenly convert people usually. If you've ever had the privilege of seeing somebody come to faith, oftentimes it's over a period of time, faithfully engaging in the opportunities which the Lord has provided to share of your faith and the reason for the hope that is inside you. The Lord answers our prayers often, so often, with little clouds. Do not despise the day of small things. Be watchful and expect greater things. Give thanks to God for the little things and persist in prayer. And by faith, you need to learn to see them for what they really are. They are God's answer to prayer. You see, here's the key to the Christian life when it comes to prayer. We need to look with eyes of faith, and we need to see those little clouds for what they truly are. God's answer to prayer. They are the beginnings of great miracles. Elijah had such a faith. Elijah prayed and he prayed and he prayed until he saw that little cloud. And as soon as he saw that little cloud, he sent word to the king. What did he say? He said, "Prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." Elijah knew by faith, looking at that little cloud, that if Ahab did not leave right away, he would soon be stuck in the rain. He knew the sand would turn to mud. He knew the rivers would soon flood, and the king would not be able to return home. All before there was ever actually a drop of rain. All because the Lord sent this little cloud rising from the sea. And we need to pray, and we need to keep on praying, and we need to expect greater things. After a little while, the Lord's little cloud, it got larger, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew into a great storm. We read, "The heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel." There hasn't been a single drop of rain in 3.5 years, and now Elijah has prayed, and the Lord has sent rain. By the grace of God and by the prayer of the prophet Elijah, there was a great rain. The Lord answered his prophet's fervent prayer. Well, you've seen on top of Mount Carmel, Elijah was a man fervent in prayer. You've seen that the Lord answered his fervent prayer. And having considered these things, I want to conclude this morning by drawing our attention away from Mount Carmel and to another mountain. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration that the Lord spoke from a cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And you know those words are spoken about Jesus Christ. And what I want you to understand from all of this is this. If the Lord answered the fervent prayers of his servant and prophet Elijah, how much more will he answer the prayers of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what great prayers Jesus has prayed for his people. If you look to John chapter 17, some have called it the true Lord's Prayer. And we see the very words of Jesus as he prays for himself and for his own glory, as he prays for his people who are and for his people who will be. We see the words of our Savior. And he's praying for you, and he's praying for me. What does he pray for us? He says, "Holy Father, keep them in your name." Oh, that we'd be preserved in the name of Christ and in the Father and not fall away, that we would persevere. He prays, "Sanctify them in the truth," that we would grow in a knowledge of the Word of God and by that be renewed and transformed in godly living. He prayed, "May they be with me where I am to see my glory." That being saved and being sanctified, that we will one day behold the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and we will see his glory, and we will be with him where he is in beatific vision. Jesus has prayed these things for us. How much more will the Lord answer the prayers of his beloved Son? We can have confidence that these things will happen. And secondly, by way of concluding application, I would ask, is the disciple above his master? If Jesus is praying, ought not you to be praying? Has he not promised his Spirit to us to help us in our weakness? Has he not promised the same Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God? Has he not invited you to come before the throne of grace yourself without the mediator of a Roman priest, without the mediator of even your pastor, with only the mediation of Jesus Christ? We can approach the throne of grace and we can pray to our Father. We can pray in his name. And he says this, he has promised, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. These things he has promised to all those who are in Jesus. Jesus is praying for you. His Spirit is interceding for you. You have been invited to pray in his name. Take up these promises, these precious promises. Draw near the throne of grace and be fervent in prayer. And know that there is a God in heaven who answers. He delights to answer the prayers of his people. Well, let us do that now by praying together the Lord's Prayer, printed for you in your order of worship. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.